Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord.
Amen.
We know you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We believe that's a promise, Lord, concerning each individual in whom the Spirit of life is. But we believe at this end time it's even a greater promise to this church, the bride to whom Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. Lord, we know that you came down with a shout, and we have no record, no intimation that you ever left us. Believing that the prophet said you came down, Holy Spirit, to set yourself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. But he also said you are the one that took us up there with the trump, Lord. How grateful we are, Lord, that this is all in your hands and you are doing it. And our identification with you, Lord, is through this word. We're so grateful to know then that everything that has been predestinated from your hand for us is ours today, O God. And we can believe it, Lord. We can walk right into it. And Father, we thank you that we believe that we have done that already.
Amen.
Now help us in our minds, Lord, and our hearts, our very souls, to be illuminated in this time. Take every doubt, O God, but yet we want a guard set there by your own precious Spirit, that nothing will be said from these lips, Lord, and nothing heard in the ears that shall be irregular or anything, Lord, contrary, but rather unto edifying now. Father, may, if it's necessary, may there be warning, but above all, we know that warning is of no value, even as we know problems are no good unless somebody's got an answer, and warnings are no good unless somebody's got a safety device, Lord. And we believe you have it today for us, so we can just concentrate now and consecrate as never before and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I want to bring a little message, and I can cut it short or cut it long. I can take Carrie's jelly beans, and that's what I started already. Took a little scoop, and now we just keep adding. The thought this morning is the three basic scriptural laws that we could look at. Now, when Brother Branham preached, Christ is revealed in his own word. He cautioned us that no man could correctly divide the word of God unless he adhered to three definite principles. Number one, he must never misinterpret the word. Number two, he must never misplace the word. Number three, he must never dislocate the word. And he then proceeded to show how completely one would be deceived if he refused to follow the specific admonitions, especially expressed in number one, where he illustrated that if you make Jesus the word, you make three gods. Now, that may sound strange, but that is absolutely true. Because if you make Jesus the Word, then you have three gods, because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now, he defined who Jesus was. He said Jesus was the fullness of the attributes of God. Then why not leave it there?
Amen.
See, you see what I mean? Brother Branham so correctly said that if you make Jesus the Word, then he said you got three gods. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and if Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is God, and vice versa back and forth. And that's not so. See, now let me stump you, but the point is, it's very simple. The God Almighty, the Creator, simply approached Mary. He had sent a messenger, and he said, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee. And the presence of God himself, God there created the sperm and the egg. Now, the point is, what life did he put in that sperm and egg? He put a portion of his own spirit. So this was the only begotten, and indeed the Son of God, but it wasn't God, it was the Son of God.
Amen.
Now at the River Jordan, God came into him.
Amen.
See? Now one day they said to Jesus, good master, and he said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. He denied it. Then he turned right around and said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Why? For the simple reason you cannot see spirit. And so God had to have a manifestation and a manifestor. So he took a little bit of life, he put some chemistry to it, and the life began to develop the chemistry. And what happened? A Son of God. He's the image of God. An image is not the real thing. So, but God came in him. Now, he stood at the graveside of Lazarus, and he wept. That was a man. Lazarus, come forth. That was God.
Amen.
So I can't figure it. Who asked you to? You believe it? prophet said, if you misinterpret the word. Now, he said, if you go ahead then and misplace the word, you've got Moses preaching Noah's message. Forget it. See? If you dislocate the word, you take it from a subject matter, and you get all mixed up. Now, people have misinterpreted 1 Thessalonians 4:16. They say, absolutely, the rapture is the appearing. I've got news for you. The appearing is now and precedes the rapture. So these are the things that Brother Branham said. Now, he showed us, but I am not going to speak on those things because he already spoke on them. What I'm going to speak on are three principles that I have discovered in Brother Branham's teaching. Now, there are many more, but there are three that I have discovered that I believe give us definite spiritual knowledge, understanding, confirm the Word of God to us, and help us to be steadfast in this Word of God. The three principles. And those three principles of which I speak are these. Number one, the Alpha and Omega principle. Two, the parallelism of Scripture principle. And the three, the theorem or vindication principle. Now, to begin with, let us take the Alpha and Omega principle. And that, of course, is found over in the book of Revelation, as you well know, and the first chapter. And we start perhaps about, well, it would be 1 to 20. I'm not going to read 1 to 20. All I'm going to say is this. In the verse 8 it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come. Now look, let's face it, that's not a metamorphosis. And that's not one beginning and one stopping and one going on. This is the great becoming God. I love Brother Branham's expression. Nobody but nobody could say what he said and how he said it. Even his language, which was fritterful. That's a new word I just coined. You know, Kentucky hillbilly like, flawless.
Amen.
Flawless, the very word he used, becoming. It's marvelous in Scripture because it's God becoming. See, changing the mask. Adapting himself as it were. Now notice I use the term adapting himself as it were. Accommodating himself to every condition which he foreknew for his glory. So as you watch my language, it's bizarre, but it's true language. I'm careful what I'm saying. This great, beautiful one that we're looking to this morning, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the ending, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Notice, he says, which is now, it was way back there, and you missed it. And he said, notice, I'm the one which is to come. Now watch. You understand what we're saying? The people standing there were looking at which is. And they didn't relate to which was, and they missed it.
Right.
Alpha and Omega principle. You follow me? He said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me.
Right.
What about Moses? I was in the burning bush.
Amen.
You got, oh my. Really? Notice some were appalled. They said, no, wait. I said, really? Hey. This is inspiring. What did he mean? The inquiring righteous mind never hurt anybody. It is the questioning human mind that destroys you. Right. Your mind's a good thing, brother. God will not have given it to you. All right, come on. We've got to get going here. 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now it tells you right here that this one here is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we go over here just to prove it. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. And we put it together with Ecclesiastes. And I'm sure it's the third chapter. Wherever Ecclesiastes is stuck in here. Especially with the new Bible is stuck in here. I told you I was hoping to die and get out of here before the old Bible wore out. So I ordered four more. I'm just kidding you. Ecclesiastes, I'm going to give him his presence. 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. That's like the word, Revelation. And God doeth it, that men should fear him. And that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. If when you put Alpha and Omega together with this, the ever-unchanging God with unchanging ways, He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The Jesus of the Old Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old Testament. I was talking to Roger the night, and Roger was just thrilled running across it. Brother Branham said he called Him Jehovah Elohim. Elohim was the great one, El Elah. The strong one who is bound by an oath, the invisible great God, now relating Himself to mankind in the seven redemptive titles of Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim. God came into human form down here. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as Brother Branham gave us the key, he explained what he had in mind, and that we should see what he had in mind concerning Alpha and Omega. And what we were to see applies specifically and predominantly to this hour, though the principle runs all through Scripture and through all ages. You see, because He's teaching us in this hour. And so therefore, Alpha and Omega apply specifically to this age. Then if He said it applies specifically, what parts applies? The Omega part. Right? And of course, there has to be some reference to the Alpha. Right? Because He never changes. See? And remember, Revelation is at the end. It's the last book. See? And remember, as Brother Branham said, if you find it in Revelation, you've got to find it in Genesis, or you're finding something wrong. Now he said, if you find it in Genesis and can't find a Revelation, there's something wrong with your thinking. But that's all there is to it. So, he told us when we see the very same event transpire, or the very same events, whichever, that were in the beginning, we know that it is the end because Alpha is Omega. See, it comes full cycle. It really does. When Genesis history repeats itself, it designates the end. It does because Alpha is Omega. Genesis means beginning. Revelation means ending. Why? Because it's the seventh seal. That which is perfect is come. Revelation. Seventh seal is Revelation. But of course it has components. What are the two components? Three components. God, prophet, us. Yeah. It's that simple. Okay. Also, if we knew what took place back there, we can look for it if that's the hour to see it. And if we see it, then we know it's the time. See, that's what's wrong with so many people when they thought that different ones were Elijah. And they weren't Elijah at all. They got it all mixed up. Like many, you know, back in 1977, so many people thought that, well, this was it. Now, 77, no doubt, was a great year, for some reason or other. But they said to me, well, Brother Bill, what about it? I said, no way, because the signs aren't in. Now, that's what Brother Branham taught. I was taught by Brother Branham. You're taught by Brother Branham. The signs aren't in. So the signs aren't in. That's not it. So, it means then at the end time, there will be conditions that repeat that were in the first time, and you will see what God did about it back there. You know He's going to do it here. That's exactly. Well, I know people don't believe that, but I'm sorry for them. That's the way it is. So, let's take an example. In Genesis 6, the entire earth was so corrupt that God had to destroy it by a flood. At the end, God is going to destroy the earth by a fire. So we better go back to Genesis 6 and pick it up. 1-5. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I want to tell you something here. Don't let any sister think I'm reflecting on you. I am not. This is the Bible. Women are brought into preeminence here, and they're causing problems. Eve caused a problem in the Garden of Eden. Now, you sisters are not causing problems. I'm just watching you, wanting you to type to church and understand what's going on. Well, I went to the bar the other night there, and I want to get a drink of ginger ale. You could see the same girl coming through here, so there's no problem. And, you know, I felt sick for that poor little girl. I had no more desire for her than I would have, you know, to climb off a cliff and just jump in the water. And I thought, my God, isn't it pitiful that what men have done to her and this age have done to this, that beautiful little girl dressed so enticingly in the wrong way, And all I could do is feel sorry for him. And you know, I'm not saying, well, Baal's a nice man. I look at, come on, get that out of your flat heads. But I had to feel sorry for that woman. Well, I'm trying to show you something here, see? Now, this thing runs all the way to the Bible. That's why Brother Branham said, you watch the condition women are in, you see the church, you watch where Israel is, the Jews, and you see the time. Now, you can see it everywhere. So, we got a little warning here. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he's also flesh. Now, what is he striving about man? Over the women. Right. What's ruined so many things today in the world? Now, there's not the sisters here. Just let's understand, please, and be objective. I am objective this morning. I am not being subjective. I'm teaching up here in a neutral position. All right, he said their days are going to be shortened. You think maybe these short skirts mean we're shortening the days? I hope so. I hope so. She about got all their clothes off now. There were giants in the earth in those days also after that, because the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare them children, and they became mighty men of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of the man upon the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continual evil. And that's it. Now, with that we go to 11 and 13. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now listen, I've already told you about this. Watch the sequence. The earth was corrupt and violence came. Brother Branham said there's nothing left in the earth. The body has turned to mush and therefore the brain has. Everybody can prove by natural science that these hyper kids and these criminals, everybody else, you put them on a proper diet, they begin to smarten up and become decent citizens. Brother Branham believed in living right and eating right. Now, let's get a little notice here, brother. Says, some of you think you can live like hogs and then be like sheep. You're entirely wrong. Violence came because there was no nourishment left in the soil. The earth was corrupted. It's not talking now, brother, sister, about people being corrupted and then do violent things. It says the earth was corrupted, and out of that came people being violent. And the Bible said, for this reason, I'm going to destroy those who destroyed the earth. And America has done the foremost job in history to destroy the earth, and South America is right behind us. The rainforests are going. Everything conspires to the great tribulation, which is going to come a lot by natural causes. Right? Science is afraid right now. All right. Now, let's go to Revelation, chapter 17, 1 to 6, because we're right here at the end time. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show thee the great whore which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of earth have committed fornication. Right back to a sixth problem. That's idolatry. False doctrine, Jezebel religion. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, you have a spiritual ferment coming on, as well as a mental degradation and a spiritual degradation. You have a spiritual, wrong spiritual ferment. Yes, false anointed, the whole bunch getting very happy, very, very strung out. They're drunk. They're drunk on their own inspiration. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. You've got to give him all to see it. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That's what Daniel saw. That's Babylon. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, the filthiness of her fornications. That's her idolatry, her wrong doctrine. And upon her forehead is written this mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, we know, and you know as well as I do, that there have been some mighty terrible purges against Christians. And we've seen it through the ages, and which mostly the Catholic Church was in it predominantly, but also some Protestants. And so, therefore, the whole church system is full of the blood of the saints, the martyrs, the great ecumenical system. Now, let's understand this, brother, sister. When one company joins another company, normally it takes on that company's name and its liabilities and its assets because it's joined up. When the Protestants Catholic get together, they take on each other's liabilities and their assets if they got any, and they're all one. So you're looking at the ecumenical move right here. All right, now let's take a look at this church, what happens. Revelation 18. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with their glory. And cried with a mighty voice, a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, notice double, and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Look, they took it all in. They took it all in. Now look, you might think I'm taking a crack at the Catholic Church. I want you to just hold your peace. I have books at home and I can prove to you categorically, wherever the Catholic Church has gone, they have allowed the people that have been converted to them to maintain their own type of idolatry. It's in South America, it's in the islands, it's every place. That's exactly why you cannot put a new patch on an old garment. That's why the old husband's got to die. And if you cannot rid your thoughts and your concepts, and if I cannot, we will not be regenerated. We will not make the rapture. You say what you want, I'm telling you the scripture. Go any way you want. It's your business. I'm going this way. You bet your life I am. I think I'm the first one in this message to learn what it is to denude the mind, sitting under a prophet, 4.5 hours to get an answer on one point. And I've got a patience that hardly anybody's got in this world outside of a saint of God. And I'm not much of a saint at that, but I'm a teacher. I can wait 10, 20, 25 years for one answer. I've done it. You better watch your step, brother, sister. All nations, Gentiles, are drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Notice the inspiration that brings wrath because of fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. America's Constitution forbids the state and the church to go together. Why have we entertained the Pope of Rome? And if the Archbishop of Canterbury comes, we'll entertain him. You say, well, what it is, we're just being nice. Huh? What did God say? Come out of her, my people. Or you think I should have said, come out of her, my people. I said, come out of her, my people. This is a judge. And he's not kindly disposed towards insolence. Or obstinacy. And be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. What is her sin? The wine of fornication. A wrong inspiration, a wrong understanding, a wrong entering into the things of God. That's where it is. But everybody enters into the things of God. Who doesn't? In Him we live and move and have our very being. Without Him we have no breath. Where do you think life comes from? Who maintains it? All things were made by Him, and all things consist or are maintained by Him. Let's understand Scripture. Her sins are reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. In other words, it's time for judgment. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double in her, double according to your works, in the cup which she hath filled her double. How much she lived gloriously herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for that she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. That's a church system that I talked about that's with us today, even this message, where the clergy brutalizes the people and takes everything from them. Why don't they give something back for a change? Amen. Too bad they don't. This church has brutalized the people and said, I sit as the queen. In other words, I'm the wife of God, the king. That's what she says. That's what she said. God didn't say so. She said, I'm no widow. Who is it that liveth? God lives. So she said, I'm not a widow. I'm married to the one that lives. Because I'm that one. And I'll see no sorrow. I won't go through the tribulation. Therefore, because she said it. Rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. And that is not the Roman Catholic Church. That is everybody. I've got no axe to grind with one church or the other. I'm just telling what the Bible says. And I want to get out of the whole stinking mess. I don't want to part with them. I don't want anything to have to do with them, what they believe, or anything else they commend, or anything else. I want to be shook and free, period. You say, well, you're just a loner. You bet your sweet life I'm a loner. I'll walk with Jesus down through the valleys. I'm happy. I'll walk through the hilltops, the high tops, fine and dandy. And if by the grace of God, and I mean it, I'm cast in a dungeon, by the grace of God, I'll be happy. I'll be content with my life. See, I won't see any sorrow. Therefore, shall there please come in one day, death, and morning, and famine, bitterly burned with fire, and for strong is the Lord God that judged her. That's exactly Noah. Exactly Noah's day. They knew not until the door was closed. They saw the ark in building. That they did. There's no doubt about this, huh? They misinterpreted it. With that, we read Luke 17. Can you sit here for about 3.5 hours? That's nice of you, but I can cut out a lot of it. I'll just drop some of it off. One example is really enough. But there's some interesting material here I might maybe just get into. All right. Said 26 to 30, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, I want you to notice here, the day of the Son of Man lasts until the bride is completely sealed up and goes. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, these days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned to build it. But in that very same day, Lot went out of Sodom. Brimstone destroyed. Even thus, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now notice Sodom is brought into it as well as the flood. Now watch. The world was destroyed by water first. Then at Sodom the fire fell. But today it's reversed. Sodom will drown. West Coast, go down.
Amen.
Then the earth will burn. But it's still water and fire. Right? Only this time it's instead of fire or water fire, it's well it was water back there and fire, and it's also to say you see the water again, you see the fire. It's a sequence. Now, the Sodom condition of the world tips us off. Over 10% of the male population in America is homosexual, and that's undercover pretty well. The tip of the iceberg. What is it there? Some are heterosexual, not too many. Many are bisexual. The whole thing is a mess. Now, it is the end time. And I say this because the conditions we have today are identical to the book of Romans, as it was in the days of the flood. The first chapter of Romans, we read this many, many times, and it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, in other words, they keep it back. They hold it down. They won't let it out. So therefore, in the time of Noah, with the prophet, they had a monumental truth. In the time when you know it of Abraham, they had a monumental truth because God himself was there, and he was there on both occasions. And that the truth was held down. It could not get out. Now what is holding down the truth today? When Brother Branham came on the scene, it was the organization. They held it down. Now it says the wrath of God is coming, going to come from heaven. What came from heaven? Water came from heaven. Fire came from heaven.
Amen.
Going to be the same thing. Because when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, and so on. And it says in 8:21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want to ask you a question. How is it that anybody gets to know God? There's only one answer, by a prophet. Now you can say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Now listen, fella. Just please simmer down, eh? You're going by this book when you talk that way. Because no other book talks that way. I want to ask you a question. Who brought this book? who interprets the book. Anytime a prophet comes, the people know God. Professing themselves to be sophists, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorrupted God in image made like corrupt man. Four-footed beast and everything else. That's in this hour. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Notice what happened. Uncleanness. Lust of their own hearts, dishonor of their own bodies between themselves. To change the truth of God into the lie. Worship and serve the Creator more than the creature, the blessed forever and so on. You got the same conditions today, and the tip-off of the conditions is the Sodom condition, because the Sodom condition is named here, that it says here, they changed the use of women into that which was against nature. And likewise, the men leaving the natural use of women burned in their lust toward men. Men working with themselves, that which is unseen, that's homosexuality, sodomy. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. Cure AIDS, something else will hit you. Get rid of homosexuality, you got a chance. And you're not going to get rid of it. You're not going to get rid of it. Prepare yourself for more and more of it. Why? Because that's the Word of God. Don't fool with me, brother, sister. Some half-baked doctor tell you something. The doctors I got to go to, I got to explain my case, and your mom will tell them what to do. They sure don't mind taking your money. I went to one doctor the other day, and he said, well, the thing, we use the trigger points here, we use Novocaine and some other things to anesthetize it. And then he said, well, this will help. And it will help. And so after paying $250 for five treatments, I go Sunday morning, wake up, and just as bad as ever. I go, I said, well, he said, we made a mistake. He said, we didn't hear the rest of the tape. What did my $300 or so buy? It was $253. What did it buy for him? I don't know. The baby a new crib? Daughter a new violin? Or part of a holiday? We didn't say, here's your money back. Doctors act like God, and the nurses act like the bride of Christ. I got a bone to pick up. They bet you sweet life. You're too much like some preachers I know. Well, that was enough said on that subject. Now notice, this is the end time, tipped off by the Sodom condition, which we saw here in the book of Romans, exactly before the flood it is now. So it is the end time. Now notice, God judged the earth in Genesis 6. Then there was a Sodom judgment. In other words, God judged Sodom in Genesis 18 and 25. And you notice at that time that Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So all right, Alpha's Omega. So the judge has got to be here. Because nobody can judge the earth. Because why? He is the king of the earth. But the church says, I am the queen, and I'll talk for the king. Ooh, that's the way women do it all the time. They talk for the man. Started in the Garden of Eden. Satan came to her and said, well, isn't it so? She said, yes, 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 yes. Adam went right along. Yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. The judge of all the... Listen, let's go to James, the fifth chapter. I love the girls, you know I do. I'm a ladies' man in that respect. I got sympathy and love for them, but God help us. Look, brother, sister, this is no time to fool around. Amen. So, husband, you know if you're going to save your wife, and wife, you know if you're going to save your husband. Okay, listen. It says in James 5, 7th verse, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's the presence that proves you. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. It tells you right there, that the husbandman, and he's the one that does the planting and the sowing, all those things and the nurturing, that we are to wait for his presence. Why? Because that's the time of the harvest. He wants something. Listen, every parable in the Bible says when he comes, he wants something. Amen. Give me my money. Give me my pounds. Give me this. Give me that. That's right. He wants something. Amen. Now remember the patience of God in the time of Noah? He's down here right now, and he's still patient. What's he wanting? He wants his own. That's us, Hattie. Amen. He's right here for the former and the latter rain. The rain of power, R-A-I-N, and the rain of teaching, which is information, which is revelation. Amen. He's here for it. Be you also patient. Establish your heart. For the literal coming after the appearing is right at hand. Now be careful. Judge not one against another, brethren. In other words, learn to come together, stop complaining, and come together. In other words, you say, well, Brother Dale, that's the trouble. These people complain. Then shut up and you stop doing things that make us complain.
Amen.
I'm not a bellyacher. I'm not a complainer. I fought the good fight of faith. But I get sick and tired of people who cause complaints. I spoke by divine revelation. You know, I never thought that thought before. Prophet said, I want to marry a girl who loves me enough as I love her. She'll mend my shirt, she'll do the washing, cook my meals, take care of the babies. She'll love me, just I'll go out and my hands will bleed for her. I can see people bleeding hands from us, flops around like a hog. Enough said. And stop doing things that cause people to complain. Do unto others as you have others done to you, and there'll be no more grudging. Thank you, Brother Bill. That was well said. Now it says, I'm going to put it my way. Quit doing those things that cause complaints. Now listen. Surely we're not a people that want to bellyache over nothing. I know we won't bury the dead horse. Now I'll admit to that. I'm honest, I think. I hope. I wish we'd bury the astronaut in somebody's skull. Stop doing things against each other. Stop being this and stop being that. Just live a good life before people. That's what I say. I'll never withhold communion to anybody like Brother Branham unless you're in gross immorality. Because I want to help you. And I cannot help by withholding. Because cursed is the man that does withhold. But you've got to be the judge of your own hearts to say, I can do this or that. And when you do remember, you better do the things that don't condemn you, because happy is the man that condemneth not himself the things he loves. Now, he doesn't get just a guilty conscience, but God's on his tail. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful. I'll not be run to the power of any. Now, we got to stand here not doing bad, and so there's no talk, and we're not fussing either. We're all trying to do good, and honor preferring, going the extra mile, and taking care of the weak, upholding the weak, and doing those things that are right until we get a better order. And it said, listen, if you don't, you will be judged because the judge is standing at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right. Who's there? The judge. Amen. Oh, I wasn't expecting the judge. The Lamb is the judge.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. He is the Son of Man. And because he's the Son of Man, he's the judge. And the Son of Man must die. The Lamb came off the mercy seat and sat upon the throne. Brother Branham said so categorically. Took the book out of the hands of him on the throne, ripped the seals off and climbed on the throne. Ha ha, that's Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace, and the king is the judge. And the law of the Medes and Persians alters not. God doesn't change. He's the judge. Who's at the door? I am. Who are you? I'm the judge. I expected the Lamb. I am the Lamb. Well, that sort of throws me. But I expect Revelation 19 and 1. I am Revelation 19 and 1. Well, who aren't you? I'm everything. I'm the rose of Sharon to those that love roses. I'm the mighty God that needs the mighty God. I'm the little valley that loves the valleys. Sure. Well, I said, I'm the Son of Man that needs the revelation. Sure, I'm the mighty God coming down. Thank you for knocking, Lord. You know what? Brother Branham told the truth. Without the prophet, you couldn't have the bridegroom revealed. Now, Genesis, beg your pardon. James,
5, 7 to 9 is based upon Genesis 3, 8 to 20. And I'll tell you why. I hope. It's just my thinking I'm going to look at. Genesis 3, we got to read it. 8 to 20. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. They hid themselves in the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. You notice at that time the tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't much good to them. And the tree of life, you know, exposed them. So let's just sort of slink into nature some way. No. And God called. In fact, he came down with a roar of thunder. I got that. Jack Bell recalled that one to me. And he roared, "Where art thou?" Well, he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid to come because I was naked and hid myself." You know, isn't that a tragic thing in the presence of the Lord today that men can be that way? You know, John says that he hopes we won't be ashamed at his appearing. That is the presence. This man was ashamed. He's naked. Now, it's all right to be ashamed of being naked in Revelation and repent and then come and get clothed. But this poor fellow, notice how he slunk back there. See, that's human nature. And he said, "Who told you you were naked?" I'm going to tell you right today, brother, sister, I didn't know I was naked. And I always see the system, so that's what he told me. God had to tell me. I was completely fooled. After eating the tree, whereof I commanded you shouldn't have eaten, the man said, "The woman gave it to me. I ate it." The Lord said, "What have you done?" She said, "The woman beguiled me." The Lord said, "It's certain because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle and so on. There's end between you and me. Well, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and conception." And Adam, he said, "Are you listening to your wife instead of listening to me? You deviated." So therefore, he said, "You're going to have to get your food from now on, not the easy way, but from the soil of the earth, the toil. The thorns and thistles are going to come up, they're going to bother you. The sweat of your face, you're going to earn your living till the day you die, and you get right back down there in the dust." All right. The reason I believe this is because James 5 is dealing with the brethren, the righteous elect, and fulfills Revelation 3, 20 to 22. Now, the reason I said James 5 and 7 is based upon Genesis 3, 8 to 20 is because James 5 is dealing with the brethren, my brethren, the righteous or the elect. And who was God dealing with? The righteous, elect, in principle, the son and daughter of God. And that's the same as Revelation 3 and 22. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice today, I'll open the door. I'll come and sup with him and he with me. And I'll grant unto him, of course, eat of the tree of life and so on." So, which is down there in the Word. And in Genesis, we see God the judge appearing to his elect. And though he has to condemn what they did, he immediately works for their redemption. But denies immortality at that point. Today we hear Revelation 3:15-18, which is condemnation, but with it Revelation 22:10-14, which is the opening of the seals and giving us permission to go to immortality. Amen, amen, brother, sister. Don't you see we're here? Amen. We're not looking down the road. I'm not even looking back. Why should I look back? I was there when Brother Branham preached that series. And the same God is again dressing a bride as he did in Eden. Not with fig leaves. No. But he's covering according to Malachi 4 and 2, which is the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. See? Which is according to 1 Thessalonians, beg your pardon, Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 56. He says, we must put on this vesture, and it's an inner vesture. God dressing. And we see how that's done. That's done by a prophet. We'll quote it a little bit later on. See? This redemption spoken of that was given to you when you're born again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the earnest of this redemption in this hour. Can't you see where you're at, brother, sister? Amen. Omega. And if it's Omega, it's all over. You're not looking for your redemption, brother, sister. Your redemption has arrived. Now, I am sure you noticed that we covered two points. Alpha and Omega, judgment and judge. And that leads us to number three, closely related to the other thoughts. It was in God's personal presence. It was God's own personal presence that created and formed Adam and Eve. It was his personal presence wherein he came and confronted his own two children and Satan. It was his presence in the form of the Holy Spirit that pronounced both judgment and redemption and gave them the definite promise of immortality that he had to withhold until now. It is the same presence today and in the same Eden fallen condition. Now, I want nobody to misunderstand me. I am not saying we are in a literal Eden. We are not literally in the millennium. We are in the Eden condition where man fell over the original sin, which was what? You shall not die. Right? And they're saying you shall not die, and they're liars. Because that's what it says in Revelation. I am no widow. My husband's living, and I'm alive. And I can prove it. All these children, look at the wonderful things my husband has done. And he said, you're a liar. You got it by your fornications. You sold out. You bought it. You enslaved men. That's the curse. The souls of men slaves. That's why I lashed out this morning. And I felt the meeting go a bit dead. If there's any preachers here, you're causing that funny spirit. That's your business. It's white throne now. I'm standing for the truth. Not to slave anybody. What would I do with you? Fact. Preacher say, be loyal to me. Listen to me. And you'll make it through. You listen to me and you'll die. Because I tell you different than what I'm telling you this morning. If I was speaking to myself, this is the word of God. I'm doing my best to show you. He descended the shout in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 in order to fulfill Ephesians 1:15 to 23, which is God himself bringing his own revelation and bringing redemption unto immortality right to the eternal city. Absolutely. And he has exposed Satan. People don't realize Satan has already been exposed and confronted in the form of the Spirit. Why? Don't you understand, brother and sister? It's the love of the truth that we have and they don't. Where do we get it? We got it from God descending. All right. You got your actual confrontation right now. I've tried to teach you time after time, and people do not realize. They fight me on every side because they don't understand the proofs. They don't understand the presence. They don't understand what I'm teaching. They try to say, well, Brother Vail believes that he's already here. You bet your life he is. But he's not here with a nail press. He's not here in a physical form.
Amen.
They don't understand why he's here. Let me tell you, every single thing has started right now in the windup. The revelation, that the apocalypse, the phanerogue, and the epiphania, all the rest of them. I've kind of skipped my mind right now. But every single thing has started right here now. And we're progressing in it. That's what they don't understand about my preaching. And yet Brother Branham said, you're going from the negative to the positive. And I asked him, am I preaching right or wrong? I'm right, they're wrong. And this is still white throne. I'm following the prophet, he said, it's from the negative to the positive. And it's more and more and more until what looks like a hand comes to a hand.
Yes, hallelujah.
In other words, body fits on body.
Amen.
It's like a woman and a man marrying, virgin both, and coming together in a physical marriage. I tell you, when she grasps him, her breast makes an imprint upon him for life. He makes an imprint upon her. And we're coming more and more from the negative into the positive. That's why you see the world more and more fornicating and going to hell all the time. I'll tell you, personally, forget it. Satan has been exposed. Who did it? Let's find out who did it. You heard me preach this a dozen times. You heard me a dozen times. You haven't heard me a dozen times. You've maybe heard me 150 times. I don't know. 2 Thessalonians. Maybe this is the first time. Let's look at it. Pardon me. I'm like poor old Brian. Before he started preaching, he had a beautiful, solid throat. Didn't bother to sing like a nightingale. Now he's getting the bad throat. Tough luck, Brian. That's how the world goes. He's a good singer. Listen, it says right here. Terry read it. 2 Thessalonians, first chapter, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why shouldn't he? And you're troubled, rest with us. Under what conditions? At what time? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Brother, sister, he was revealed and nobody's got the answer to it. There's your picture right there. You say, well, I just don't think those things can happen. Well, that's fine by me. You tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. So, Brother Bale, you're guessing. No, vindicated prophets. Well, we don't believe in prophets. Well, who do you believe in? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's exactly right. And obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, what about then those that do obey the gospel? They don't get this. Who shall be punished for everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall have come to, when he shall come to admire these saints and be admired in all them that believe because their testimony among you was believed in that day. Now what's he telling you here? He's telling you one people get condemnation, one people get blessing. See? Wherefore we also and pray right now. Listen, this is the time then, this hour is when the judge has come and the truth has been revealed, as it says over in the second chapter. Now it says here, verse 10, Satan now comes on the scene, with all deceiveth and of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now what time is that? That's at the time this one descends. Now the world is in a condition of wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, and don't know it. Then somebody's got to come and wake up those virgins. He's got to wake up the whole show. And what's he going to wake them up for? They had better get the truth. That's what's going to save them. Now remember those virgins, they didn't have oil in their lamps. That's Luther, Methodist, and the whole bunch behind us. Pentecostal. Didn't have it. No revelation. Why? Their day is over. They're just lip service to a dead word. It's all gone. With us, it's different. See? You'll never make the rapture without the light that's here today. No, nope, can't do it. That's where you get such oil right there, brother, sister, because you can't get any oil without the word. See, that's where Pentecost made its great error. They began speaking in tongues and having gifts way back in 906, and they had no word with it. I know what I'm talking about. I read the books. I was in it. Not in 1906. I was born in 14. But I got there when I was 18 years old. Well, younger than that. Just going on 18. Now it said, for this reason, God will send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The same one that brought the truth, now I'm going to bring delusion. You say, when are you going to bring delusion? By bringing the truth. You know, a deluded person believes he's right. We knew we were wrong. We weren't deluded. Those that believe they're right are deluded, because the Bible said they're wrong. You're wretched, miserable, blind, naked, don't have it, and you think you got it. You know what that is? That's insanity. See, that's like a guy thinking he's got $1 million. He goes around passing out bad checks, and he's really fervent and loving and kind. And he says, oh, here, take this check. And the poor guy doesn't know, because he's insane, he's got the money in the bank. He doesn't mean any harm, but you see, he's crazy. Now, I'll tell you what, these people don't mean any harm either. That's why we got to be careful. I'm not too careful. I got to learn to be more careful. He comes down and exonerates the bride by the washing of water by the word. Now, I could go on and on about Alpha and Omega, but look, our time's running out fast. Number two, look at the parallelism of Scripture. That is two lines always running parallel to each other and never joining, going plumb into eternity. Let's look at a few of them. That's over here in Deuteronomy 27. Should have called this meeting for 9 o'clock this morning. Hate to mumble in my beard up here, but it's the truth. I'm going to get nervous running out of time. Don't like to get nervous. All right. Let's just read a little bit here. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 11. This is the cursing of Mount Abel and Gerizim, the blessing.
And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people," he named them. "And these shall stand upon Mount Abel to curse," and he named them. "And the Levites shall speak unto all men of Israel with a loud voice," and they start on Mount Abel with cursing. "Cursed be the man that maketh the graven image. Cursed be this man. Cursed that man. 16 curse. 17 curse. 18 curse. 19 curse. 20 curse. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Curse, curse, curse. Okay, it'll come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, diligently hearken the voice of the Lord thy God." Now notice, if you listen, the one that comes down, if you listen, something else will happen to other than the curse. Okay. Now I said, the blessings, now, get up on the high mountain and then say this here. If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and observe all his commandments, which I command this day. Now notice, Moses is doing it. God's done it through Moses, and now they're doing it from Moses. "And the Lord God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth," right to the eternal city. "And all the blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now notice, they're going to overtake you. You won't be able to run fast enough to get away from the blessing of God. I've proved that, brother, sister. I have proved it personally. You bet. You're all the time saying, "Well, I can't run fast to get away from the devil." You just say, "Shut up, devil, sit down, boy. You can't run fast enough to get away from God and his blessing." That's right. The Bible says so. "These blessings will overtake thee, and you'll hearken the voice of the Lord your God." You'll go from glory to glory. "Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the field." Number 4, blessed. 5, blessed. 6, blessed. 7, blessed. 8, blessed. 9, blessed. 10, blessed. 11, blessed. Right down the line. And 12, you're going to get blessed. "Lord, open the treasures of heaven. Give you rain, latter rain and former. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail." Oh, you bet your sweet life. That's the bride. And listen, blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. And cursing and cursing and cursing and cursing and blessing and blessing. All at the same time. Amen. They run parallel and they never meet. The cursed never will come out of purgatory or any other place and get to God. They're annihilated because there is no purgatory. And the blessed will never go anywhere but to bliss. Amen. Let me tell you this flat, brother, sister, in this hour, and get this flat. And understand it, in this last day, all your righteousness amounts to nothing if you sin. You can have 85 years of righteous living, and you step off the board today, you're gone. And you can live 85 years as a sinner going to hell and turn to God. And like that, you make it.
Amen.
That's right, I'm quoting the Bible. Judgment day. Why? Because they turned down the word of the Lord. Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 45 to see the parallelism of Scripture. Blessing and cursing, blessing and cursing, blessing and cursing. Never, 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 never changes. Everybody gets all excited. That's why they're legalists. That's why you believe in falling away. Because you see the curse. And you say, "Oh, there's a blessing. And there's a curse. And there's a blessing. And there's a curse. And oh my, I can go to hell. I can live for Jesus. And I can go to hell. I can get born again. And I can go to hell." You've got to be ridiculous. The parallelism of Scripture, brother, sister. Where are we at? 45 says, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil." That means hard times. "I, the Lord, do all these things." Yeah. As a Scripture, let's see if he brings a blessing or brings a curse. He brings both. How does he bring both? You turn down his word, so therefore you can't get what's behind his word. And there's no thing negative except it was first positive. There is no power but of God, and there's nothing evil in itself. But you turn down the word, then you've abandoned the things of God. Matthew. Look at Matthew. This is for this hour. The 3rd chapter. Oh, I like all these scriptures. And I think maybe I better stop reading them. And just talk a little bit about it so we can go to the next point. Matthew, because that's the last point that's important to me this morning. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. And it says here, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. But watch it, his fan is in his hand." What's a fan for? To separate the chaff and the wheat. The chaff and the wheat. See? And he'll thoroughly purge his floor. What for?
to gather wheat in the garner. Then what? He'll burn the chaff. Gathering, burning, gathering, burning, gathering, burning. So he's coming in clouds of angels, and what's he going to do? He's going to burn the wicked at his convenience when he brings in the righteous. The same one. Blessing and cursing. Isaiah 60. Well, we got one more maybe. Oh, forget it. Isaiah 61, 2 and 3 tells you flat. The day of atonement, the day of judgment. Malachi 4, 1 to 6, same thing. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, which we read, right down the line. Okay. Brother Branham preached, I indict this generation, but he also preached the invisible union. Now, if he'd have done different, he was not that prophet. Oh, they said, Brother Branham, don't say those things about our lovely ladies. Tell them how to have gifts and be spiritual. He said, how can I teach them algebra if they don't know their ABCs? I doubt if Brother Branham ever took one lesson in algebra, but he sure got it right. You use letters instead of numbers. They didn't know the ABCs. Women cutting their hair, living the way they are, speaking up in church when they have no authority, doing the things that's commended unto a man. You say, well, just a minute. Now listen, you just a minute me, young Tesh, brother, sister. What is homosexuality? You know what it is? Sure you do. Men with men, women with women. Don't you pull that off. Woman's got her place and man's got his. And there's no place in Scripture for a woman to handle the Word of God, period. You say what you want, brother, sister. You'll answer for it. This is White Throne. And I will be there because I'm here now talking to you people. You say, Brother Vail, you arrogate to yourself a great position. I don't, but I take my responsibility. And I'm not afraid to do it. I'm not afraid because I've got to do it. He preached, I indict this generation. He preached many sermons along that line. And he preached many sermons along the line, visible union. I imagine just about equal. Brother Branham was the voice in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And with the same word, sword, the same sword that he dressed the bride, he stripped away the hypocrisy of the church. And he screamed out, when the sword is in hand, he said, the sword of the king, there's only one king and that's God, and there's only one sword and that's the word. And he said, bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. Who in the world ever took a sword and dressed anybody? Amen. Well, says the wife, honey, to the great old knight, Sir Ronald, or Reggie, what his name was, honey, I need a new dress for the wedding. He says, come here, my bride. Takes it, slap, slap, bang, bang, a sword. Now you're dressed up. She said, you just cut me to pieces. That was in sheer prophecy. God speaking through a prophet. I tell you, William Branham did not even know what he spoke at that time. Amen. Had to settle down in his soul. He told us and he told you. I think it's on tape. It is on tape. But he told me personally. Because I don't know it's on tape. Prophets, many times, don't even know what they said. On occasion, he's down there in Beaumont, long before Jack went down there. He heard himself say something. He said, boy, oh boy. He said, Lee, he said, I thought that's got to thinking, my God, what did he say? He said, I never said anything in my life before. He said, I got home and I began thinking. He said, hey, I said exactly right. Brother Branham fulfilled Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Exactly. That's by the word of God. He did that to show that he not only had power, but the judge was on the scene and instructed him. Now, notice what is said in the book of Luke. And we've done this many, many times. 20 to 30, 17. He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered, the kingdom of God comes, but not by observation. Now notice right in here, brother, sister, that a people who demand to know are odious. They're odious. They stink. They're vulgar, crass,
and unspiritual.
When's the kingdom going to come? And notice the beauty. And he is the trickster of the tricksters.
Amen.
I didn't quote a wrong quote. God himself deceives. How? By simply telling the truth. And he said, the kingdom comes, but you won't see it. Because it's something you can't see. It's without observation. And they said, oh boy, can that guy stall. Woo-hoo, man. You talk about the city slicker from the country, this is the boy. They didn't believe it at all. They said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is already amongst you. It's with it, it's in your midst. And he said, you're not seeing it, and your kind will never see it. They say, Brother Bill, I don't like that. Who said you had to like anything God said? These people didn't like it. You, Brother Branham, preached a sermon? Wonderful sermon. Based on what you look back in the time of Jesus, and you say, well, if I'd have been there, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have done that. And he said, you're the very one that would have done it, and you're doing it now. Oh, yeah. I don't want to hurt anybody. He just says here, the kingdom of God's already here and you don't see it. And he said to the disciples, now listen, he put them in the know. Those that were his buddies. The days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you'll not see it. Now notice he said, there'll come a time when the desire will be to see the very thing you're seeing now. Now watch carefully what he says and where he puts it. Please watch where he puts it. And they shall say to you, see here, see there, don't you follow them. Don't you go after them. For as the light that lights under one part of heaven shines the other part, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And that is not simply a flash of light, that's the moving of light. Brother Branham said it so perfectly, the light that shone in the east now shines in the west. But now watch, first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now he tells you, you'll want to see the days of the Son of Man. Everybody will want to see it, but hold it. It's not going to happen until he's dead and risen. Now watch where he puts it. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What's the days of Noah? Destruction. Just before destruction. They ate, they drank, they saw. The days of Lot, before the fire it was. Now, even thus, verse 30, it'll be a day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now it tells you that. Now, you notice in here categorically, as we read on, to verses 34 to 37, and I tell you in that night, there'll be two in the bed, one taken, one left. There'll be two women, two people grinding, one taken, one left. There'll be two in the field, one taken, one left. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said, where the body is, there the eagles are gathered. And that word is soma. Where is the body? Now, our bodies are not somatic, except in the sense we heal, and we're sort of healthy. But when you're looking at the true soma, you are looking at the fact of the body of Jesus Christ being a perfect and true and whole body because it is fed on the perfect and true whole Word of God. That's what's wrong with our bodies now. We don't have the proper food. If we had the right and proper food in the right way, we'd just be healthy people. Our teeth wouldn't fall out. Our hearts wouldn't get bad. We'd just come to the place to die and we'd die. That's all. You say, what about sin? Well, sin's certainly a big help. You get messing around. Venereal sin's your big one. Let's face it. You can read it from there, brother. Sit down, have to lecture on that one. All right. Now, this absolutely coincides perfectly with Matthew 25, 1 to 13. And you know the story there, the sleeping virgins. And you'll notice that absolutely the one went in and the others were taken out into the great tribulation. In Revelation 22 and 10, when the seals are opened, the righteous are righteous, the filthy are filthy. Only those that are righteous go to the tree of life, and the rest are called dogs outside the city. So you can see here, brother, sister, the parallelism of Scripture. There is no place where God does not bless and curse at the same time. So when you read your Bibles and you see a curse, look for the blessing. And when you see a curse, it isn't yours. No, not yours, it's somebody else's. See? And when you see a blessing, you claim it.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, if you don't understand this little simple law, you will be a legalist, and every time you open your Bible, you're going to be afraid. Say, oh, my God, that you mean? You better get born again, brother, sister. You better get established. Because you cannot afford to be that way. I cannot afford to be that way. Now, in humility, in grace, you say by the grace of God. You don't vaunt yourself. But, brother, sister, we better come to the place where Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Because Abraham was persuaded. And this is the hour of full persuasion. And you can't get it unless you understand the blessing. The curse is not for you. Condemnation of you. Correction is. But there are two different words. Look in your dictionary. Condemnation is not spelled C-O-R-R-E-C-T-I-O-N. See? Yes, sir. Like one kid, he didn't know what capital punishment was. He said, I believe in capital punishment because from that time on you do right. He thought if they beat you enough, you'd stop doing wrong. You just stop doing. There's no capital punishment. Thirdly, here's the last one. Give me a few minutes. This is the important one we're looking at. The third one is the theorem principle. The theorem principle is the vindication principle. In other words, vindication is the perfect and only way to have perfect faith. That's right. No other way. Now, I'll read the scripture because I wrote it down here. I think I got it wrong in the sense I should not read the scripture first. I should talk, but seeing I wrote it down, I prefer to believe I have inspiration to do it that way. So I read it. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 1 to 4, and that is an interpolation. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4 is an interpolation. Because verse 14 should be followed by verse 5. Right. It's just like Revelation 10, 1 to 7, an interpolation. But you got to leave it there. Therefore, we ought to give the more heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, messengers, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Okay, 1 John. I'll come back to that later, tell you what it's all about. 1 John, the first chapter, and the first three verses or so. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which your eyes have seen, which you looked upon, your hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write, that your joys may be filled. Are full. Okay, with that, 2 Peter. Brother Terry read this. Suddenly I remembered that's a part of what I want to read. I didn't remember. Didn't remember. It came to my mind after he said it. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, which were made known unto you by the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. We saw the majesty. And we receive from God the Father honor and glory because we heard such a voice that came to him from that excellent glory. And we heard it say, this is my beloved Son, whom I am pleased. And this voice, which we heard from heaven when we were in that holy mount. Why, there's a word even more sure that's coming to you than that, which we saw and heard. Whereunto you better take heed as unto a light, because you're going to be in a very dark place. And you better take heed, stick with it until the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first and get this, the truth, that you can't get that prophecy by yourself. It's given the way every prophecy is given. Because prophecy doesn't come by just anybody. It only comes by the will of God. Just like it came in old times. And that's by prophets. Alright. Let me read the greatest battle ever fought. Page 27. Brother Branham is going to tell you about Elijah. And he said, what had Elijah done? He cleaned out every channel. He sure did. God had chosen him and anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't he. He never did anything till he saw it in a vision. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, listen, God, I've done all this at your command. Now let it be known that thou art Lord. Oh, glory to God. In other words, Elijah said, bring on the vindication. Now watch, Brother Branham. I, Brother Branham, have seen this so many times. What are you trying to tell us? Well, he said, just like Elijah, I'm right with him.
Amen.
Woo, you say, what a presumptuous word. Well, hallelujah, somebody's got to be presumptuous.
Amen.
I know these presumptuous people. They sit there and they say, well, I got the Holy Ghost too. Well, do something for me.
Amen.
Have a vision. Come on.
Right.
Give me that, saith the Lord.
Yes.
You're pretty stupid now, right? Anybody's got a big mouth, but you pay for it. He said, I've seen this many times, just so many times. Oh, Brother Branham, but Elijah only said it once. He said, I've said it thousands. Woo, you talk about him.
Amen.
What has that guy got? Man, he's got an ego that could fill a universe. No, he's a humble, sweet guy, I know.
Right,
he's just telling you a fact. Hey, man, you ever had for breakfast? Two soft eggs, a little softer than one, but tastes good. Buttered whole wheat toast, not very good. Had a cup of, you know, decaffeinated coffee. A little bit of jam. So I'm just telling you. Now, it's not quite that cash with Brother Branham. He's not boasting. He's just telling you. This is a part of his life. I've seen it many times. Talking about himself. When you see the Spirit of God strike in a place, and that place get under the anointing, like Elijah, if this little group in here this morning could just take this mind here and get every doubt out of the way. What mind? That I've seen this thousands of times.
Amen.
Shall we go home? Or shall we get the orchestra playing? Shall we dance? I got your Ribeiro. I'm over one too. Now let's go, Brother Branham. You've seen this so many times. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. You believe me. You put your trust in me because of that and because of that.
Amen.
You stand on that.
Amen.
He said, that's it. That's it. Or you'll never believe his message.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Okay, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know why? Because you cannot read with implicit faith that this is the word of God because you've got your own ideas like I've had mine for years. I've been scared stiff many times to look at a single sermon that I just didn't like. I was so messed up in my mind about the stature of every man because it spelled legalism. And I'd look and I'd say, well, just me, I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have that kind of power. And brotherly kindness, yuck. And temperance, where art thou? I'm like a drunken Methodist that only talks about it, takes the pledge only to have the fun of breaking it. And I said, I can't be this way. You remember years ago I told you time and time again how that I looked in a three-way mirror once and I saw my nose and I wouldn't look again for 30 years or so? I thought I was in this three-way mirror. I said, I don't dare look in that three-way mirror, Brother Branham, or I'll see my nose. Okay, Brother Gunther? You don't know why I said that, but little Tricia calls him Grandpa Vail for one reason. She gets Edna right as Sister Gunther. I was afraid of that three-way mirror. Finally, I said, I'm going to look in the mirror. I had read the sermon entirely wrong. I was in a certain church. No. I was in under certain conditions. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I sat there. The sermon of perfect faith was heard by me many times. Each time I heard in the atmosphere of that church, I was condemned guilty. Like a legalist blow every single time. That's some years ago. A while ago I made my mind up. I think that's a nice devotional message. It's time the people heard a devotional message from Brother Branham. I'll preach it. Under a different atmosphere of our people. We hear the word continuously and talk it continuously. It was not the sermon I thought it was after hearing it many times. Everybody's heard that series say there never was anything that I preached like that. They're entirely wrong. It's just a matter they're getting more and more used to the things that God has, Brother Branham, taught them. Under the anointing, he said. Under the right anointing, and I hope it's here this morning, you will understand the power of the third principle, which is the theorem or vindication principle. You'll take it to your heart and never doubt again. If this group this morning could just take this in mind and get every doubt out of the way that I am Elijah, and hundreds or many, many times and thousands of times in vision, I have seen exactly what Elijah saw in visions, and the proof came out. And he's talking about himself now, and he's encouraging himself. And he said, how can you doubt anymore? Okay. Jack's my boy. I preach it, he believes it. But not any more than me this morning, Jack. Because this is it. I believe it. And I'll believe it more, too. I believe that. Maybe 2%. I'll believe it 100 words over. Don't worry. We're just getting on track, brother, sister. We're just like the hound dog to smell the scent.
Amen.
So, we're learning. You thought until this morning you believed. You're going to find out that you believe a little bit, you're going to believe more. You've got to. You've got to stand there and grit your teeth. William Branham took his own vindication as his faith. Listen. Now he said, you people, Lee Bale especially, you've seen the dead raised. Two occasions I saw the dead raised, but on both occasions it could be disputed. Now here I'm going to be crass, vulgar, ignorant, mean, dirty dog Bale. Brother Jack Moore, I believe Gordon Lindsay, Ernie Baxter. You get the picture? We're there in Finland. When the little boy was hopelessly killed, dead. His boots knocked off and his bones crunched. Dead. And the vision of the book said, he's going to live. Brother Branham said, if he doesn't rise, chase me out of Finland. Do any of those men believe that? In that, I ask you a question. I'm not condemning anybody. You might think I am. That's your business. Think what you want. I care less. Except I'm a little bit hurt. I'll get over it. One good dinner? Double chocolate dessert with Ruth. And Dave, of course, sitting there licking his chocolate and eating it. You might get that. I'll forget it. I'll pass on and talk to somebody else. I look in the three-way mirror again and say, hey, that's a pretty good nose, kid. Get prettier all the time. I look more like the Lord, though, because I'm looking in the Word. You've seen the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Oh, have I seen it? You better believe I've seen it, brother, sister. And then Brother Branham is talking about himself and to himself, though to us. How can I doubt it?
Amen.
How can I doubt it? I saw Brother Branham here like old cord like this. Saw it wrapped around. How are we going to get around back there? Anyway, two or three times around. I pulled on it, hoping it maybe. It did maybe. It dropped right around his ankle. Oh, God. If you're in danger of falling or something, would you sooner have the cord around your ankles, around your hips? I'd sooner have it around my hips. How do you stop a horse from running and lasso a calf? Around the neck, he's going to drag you plumb hopeless. Get him by the foot.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, never blinked an eye. The cord was by his feet. He said, but I just thought, well, be my guest and doubt it. I saw it. I cannot doubt it.
Amen.
So, Brother Dale, you wink. Ha, you wink. The devil got in your eye, kid. Ain't nothing but a goat. Coming around here pretending you're saying to God. I'm going to tell you something. He said, I believe it. Now listen. The angel of the Lord, even his picture hanging there. That's got science stumped everywhere. That's got stumped everywhere. What did he do? Stay right with the word. Amen. Cuts every devil. Yes, it does. And we're belly aching about the devil. And we can't believe that, man. Why that? That's unusual. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? You've been screaming for years, give us something unusual.
Hallelujah.
You're like the guy screams, I want some new type of dish. I want some new type of dish. So he brings in liver sauteed with a lovely cream sauce, which I don't know I'd like myself. But it sounds pretty good at this point. And the guy says, I thought he wanted something unusual. Give us a sign. I gave you one, but not that. What do you believe this morning? Let me get this straight, brother. What I'm trying to tell you now, Brother Branham had faith in his own vindication, and in his vindication, that's what he went from. That was his springboard. Now, the ministry spirits sent from the presence of God, and he's talking about himself, because he's a minister, and he's anointed as a speaker of God's word and stayed with the word, and God confirms the word with signs following, showing Hebrews 13 and 8. But notice this, a prophet does not have signs following when it comes to vindication. He has the signs ahead of him that proves what he's going to say is right. And that's a big difference. Because you can be false anointed and every sign follow you. But you better have the signs ahead of you. 18, right? How could we, now those of you and me, how could we doubt when he's both scientifically and materially and spiritually and every way that can be proved, he's proved to be here. Oh, God. Tabernacle, a whole bunch. Brother Vale's wrong. This, the raising the dead, the miracles, prove he is here. What kind of here? The kind of here he wasn't here before. because nobody needed any vindication to prove that he was here as the baptism.
No, I won't say it. Sorry. No use anyway.
What's the matter? It's in our minds. We won't open our minds and say, we say, well, I don't know. Well, it could be. It couldn't be. It is. It was.
That's why we're nuts here, brother, sister. Now listen. We see that Brother Branham was perfectly vindicated in his own mind.
Dr. Davis said, you, a grade school kid with not even grade school, you are going to go before kings in the world. You are going to do it. He said, yes, that's what he said. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I would sooner believe Dr. Davis and call Brother Branham a nut unless he had some kind of evidence he was going to do it. I am now going to jump over the piano. Ha, ha, ha. I can't even jump 1 foot. I'm tangled-foot. I should be tangled-tongued. I wouldn't talk so loud and so much. But I'm tangled-foot. I never could jump for a hill of beans, and I never would. I'm not Jack B. Nimble. I kick the candlestick over. I couldn't jump over the panel. So you think I'm going to tell you now I'm going to jump over a panel? Well, I'll sit down and play a lovely rhapsody. I don't even know what a rhapsody is. I read about it. So Brother Brown said, I'm going to stand before kings. And he hasn't even been through school. He doesn't know any kings to stand before. And if he did, how's he going to get there? Well, I'm Brother Branham, and I'm going to stand before kings. Oh, you are? Stout. How many nuts try to get to the White House? All kinds of nuts. Out! Throw him in jail. Maybe he's a pussycat. Pussycat, pussycat. Wait a minute. I've been to London to see the Queen. What did you there? I frightened the mouse from under her chair. You see how stupid that man would be? This is not facetious remarks I'm saying. I'm trying to pin us down this morning, brother, sister, to get serious and know where we stand. Because we'll not get off the ground. We'll go no further until there's breaks on our hearts. This is real, real, real. And I'm only 5% there as far as I know. That's the trouble. I'm eating my sins. See, Brother Brown was perfectly vindicated in his own mind from what happened. He came to the place where he knew who he was and what his ministry was. He stood like Jesus over here in Matthew 12, 22 to 37. Oh, I spoiled it. I've got several bags of jelly beans today. Terry, it's your fault. You taught me. I'm a very good student. 22 to 37. And they brought to him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, he healed him, and swept the blind and dumb, both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed. They said, hallelujah, is this the son of David? The Pharisees, hogwash. What are you trying to tell here, you bird brains? You don't know the scripture. This fellow here casts out devils by just one person. That's the devil himself. We'll tell you the truth of this whole thing. You're doing it right now, Brother Branham. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He said, every kingdom, listen, every kingdom. Listen, every kingdom. You're dealing with the kingdom.
Amen.
Don't go looking around. You keep your eyes straight. You're not dealing with the person, you're dealing with the kingdom. Is it God or not? It's brought to desolation if divided against itself. Every city or house divided shall not stand. Shall not stand. Satan cast out Satan. He's divided. He's shot. He's finished. Now listen, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, and they were doing it, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore you be the judge. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you. The kingdom of God will be there and they won't even know it and recognize it. But those who know the word of God, the seed, the elect, they will see it and they will know it. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? There's your faith. Let your faith go this morning, then to spoil his house. If you keep your faith, you're all right. He that is not with me is against me. There you are. He that gathereth not against me scattereth abroad. Keep reading. Therefore I send to you all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven and in. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven in. Who shall speak of the word against the Son of Man to be forgiven him? Remember, the Son of Man today is not Jesus in flesh, it's the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, the Son of Man is in the form of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, that's part of you. Blaspheme against that, you're gone. He said, Brother, I just can't believe that I'd go to the lake of fire. That you believe what you want, child. Go ahead. No one's going to try to force you into anything. Nobody. Don't you know God didn't force Adam? Say, now, Adam, I'm going to stand right there and you'll not touch that tree of death. No, no. I'll be with the club. You bet your sweet. Now, I'll tell you what, Adam. Look at the beautiful fruit and all of it. Now, I'll tell you what. Don't go near that and I'll give you all this nice stuff. Here. He said, there they are. Take your choice. Then something came by that allowed a choice to be made and he flunked the test.
Right.
Alpha's a major. You want to hurt your feelings, but that's all there is to it. I'm in the same boat. Come on, kid. Come on. I'm in the same boat you are. I don't point my finger at anybody. Speak against the Son of Man, forgive him, against the Holy Ghost, no way. Not this world, nor the world to come. Now listen, white throne, you did it here. It's over. All it is just burnt up at that time. Either make the tree good, its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. The tree is known by its fruit. What was the fruit they were bringing forth? Against the word of God, with their mouth. Their word was wrong. Old generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? They couldn't admit to Christ if they tried. They couldn't admit to Christ if they tried. Neither can these people admit to that and to that, even if they try. So this morning, don't try. But give yourself a break, just to say. Sit there and say, oh God, wipe it all away, this hindering, if it's hindering somewhere, because it's just not the thing to have. Out of a good heart, out of an evil heart. Cain and Abel. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And Brother Branagh said, we're going through it now. This is based on Matthew 12:15-21. This is concerning Jesus Christ himself in the days of his flesh, which Isaiah said in verse 17. Concerning him and the Gentiles, behold my servant I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him. And after that, some down the road, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall come with vindication. He shall show what is right. And at that time he shall not strive. Because he did strive when he was in his flesh. He strove so bitterly, he took ropes, and he knotted them, and he whipped the daylights out of it. Threw them out of the temple. And it says, he shall not cry in the street. On the great day of the feast, he cried, that if any man thirst, let him let me in drink. The bruised reed he shall not break. He broke it. He said, it's all over. The smoking flax, he quenched. He doesn't do it today. You can't hear him. He just comes like light. Do what you want with him. And in his name, only the name, shall the Gentiles trust. What's your name? Lord Jesus Christ. You get baptized in it. You bear it. That is why he spoke squirrels into existence and knew if God gave him a vision, he could go to the graveyard and raise George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. You say, just a minute. You would then have, you and I would be sorry messes to be Mary and Martha.
Oh, God. Stinking in the grave 4 days in dissolution. Brother Brandt said the nose falling in. You know what heat can do to the body. Oh, my. Up here in the north, you let a skunk die in the road, he just lays there for days. Down south, pretty soon, he puffs up and he disintegrates. He was puffing up and disintegrating. And one said, even now, Lord, even now, Lord, I wonder if that's so. That's a lot of hog, boy. Even. Well, you see, they were simple little ignorant people. Thank God for ignorance. Even now, Lord. Lord, if you had been here, but that's all right. You're here now. Oh, I want to be like her. You weren't here before, but you're here now. Okay. Hallelujah. Now is the time to see Lazarus come forth. The voice. That's right. He said, I'd go to the graveyard and raise the dead. He put fantastic faith in the two supernatural pictures. They sealed it all off and capped the ministry of vindication and made him know, as did Moses, Elijah, Paul, and Jesus, and all the prophets, that his word could not be confuted. You can confute, but you can't confute. You might refute. Just talk and argue, but you can't confute it. You can't prove it wrong. Tell me what that is. Tell me what that is. You know something? The man that was there ought to know. He fulfilled Revelation 10 and 7. 22, 10 to 14. That's the opening of the seals. He brought us to the revelation of the tree of life and the next step to immortality. He told us that he had given us what he'd given us by divine revelation through the pillar of fire, that all we needed, we had now to put us in the rapture. He was utterly satisfied that it was so. He wasn't satisfied that we were satisfied. Come on. Or satisfied because we sat around and said, yes, brother. He was satisfied because of what he had. He didn't care two bits what we had. What did I contribute to Brother Branham? Except trouble. What did you contribute? Nothing. You weren't even there. I didn't have a thing to do with this. That's why I get such a pain in my stomach, spiritually speaking. When people say, well, you know, Brother Dale, Brother Branham's a great man, but I... fat. You what?
Amen.
You what? I can even wrestle, arm wrestle some of you gals, or I mean some of you men. That's good to women. And I've been sick a long time. Lost my muscles. Got the nerve to stand up against the prophet. Well, I has. You never had a bit of that.
Amen.
Nobody has. You never judge a prophet.
Amen.
Anybody knows that by Scripture. When it comes home, it's a different story. See? Based upon his own personal vindication, which is exactly what Moses did, and Paul did, and Jesus did, and the apostles did. We can now, if we desire, receive Hebrews 13 and 8. The Christ revealed seals, just as confidently as did Abraham look for it, and receive the promised son, and the city that hath foundations, and each and every promise that God has granted the supplier needs. That which is perfect would never have been fulfilled apart from the vindication of Deuteronomy 18, because who would believe a man simply saying, it is now fulfilled? Let's have some proof. Hey, you know, we've had a terrible job this last while trying to get a piece of property we need to bargain on. Because we were going to be dead sure when we finally put the last dollar on it, that was ours, period. And so what do? We had the title search and we paid a man for it. We paid a lawyer for it. We paid this guy for it and the guy to survey it. And then finally we took an insurance policy. If anything went haywire, we'd come out on top.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That's the prophet William Branham.
Amen.
Anybody can talk. I can talk up a storm. Yakety yak, nothing to do. And I do it. William Branham could not come on the scene and say these things unless he was vindicated. He'd be a complete fool because he knew he'd be challenged. And he stood there and took the challenge. And a man came spitting across, a great big crazy guy. He said, I'm just going to use snake in the grass. I'm going to destroy you. And he could have done it. And Bill Branham stood right there. The cops came up and said, leave him alone. He said, Satan, because you challenged the servant of the Most High God. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will fall across my feet. And the man began sputtering and weaving, weaving. He fell right on Brother Branham's feet. They had to pull him off. Men died for their folly around him. I wish you could have looked in his eyes the way I did today. I told you time and time again, I'll tell you. I sat to make a little choke with Brother Branham. You know, I'm a goofy nut. But you better watch. I'm serious underneath. That's a facade. The left-hand compliment. So how you doing, Brother Bale? Fine, Brother Bam. How you associate, Sonia? I said, oh, great, but not like yours. You got them all fooled. And I was just meaning the exact opposite. You never fool anybody. You're the great man of God. Brother, he swung. Went plumb into trance and looked at me. Stared at me. Stared. Cold ice. And I sat there. He breathed deeply and went back. Didn't say one word. He didn't have to. I no more fooling in his presence. Try it sometime. Think of Jesus. Never mind the prophet. Nope. I learned a hard lesson an easy way. It is this vindication that makes us know that his ministry precedes the second coming of Jesus in the flesh, because he was vindicated in public to back up his personal statements. The greater works of John 14 and 12 have been seen by us. And today we come to John 15, 24, where he said, if I had not done the works which no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now listen, brother, sister, listen to that verse. I couldn't possibly be in the category of hating God. I love God, but I can't take it. You hate him. I know I'm stunning you. I know I'm stunning you. It's not human reasoning. They've both seen and hated, both me and my Father. See why I preach love the way I do? It separates the elect from the non-elect, establishes Malachi 3:18. They know righteousness from wickedness, and those that serve God and those that don't. It opens up Revelation 22:10-14, the opening of seals, separating the righteous from the wicked. Absolutely. Matthew 24:24 reveals who they are. It is perfectly clear that this mighty vindication principle separates major and minor truth. The great truth is a message that will make us ready for the rapture, just like John, and put us in there. The minor truth is the gift of healing Brother Branham took to the world. Brother Branham said, I'm ministry to pray for the sick. He also, my ministry, to declare that he is here. That John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message foreruns the second coming. He never separated them. He said, oh, with that sweet spirit of truth, Christ come more and more into the church until the gifts were put on the shelf. And he said, everybody gets healed. I'm looking for it. You bet I am. With this vindicated ministry, there was nothing left to be proved. It is now only a matter of accepting it and using it. Now listen, now watch carefully. And using it exactly as a student applies a theorem to solve a problem that is based on a theorem. This is the theorem principle, the vindication principle. Once the Pythagorean theorem is proved, you never prove it again. You just use it. So that's it. You apply it. And as you apply it, every other question based on a theorem, and none in the Bible is based on any other theorem than this, every problem is solved. Did you hear what I said? Now listen, this is not geometry. This is God's word. The vindication or theorem principle. The vindication principle proves the entire word of God, which is Hebrews 13 and 8, bringing automatically, as we accept this, Mark 16 and every other promise.
Amen.
Because there's only one theorem. Do you believe?
Amen.
Then it's how much do you believe? Can you base your life on it? Well, I think maybe, Brother Vail, I ought to look in the Word about that. Well, you think we've been preaching this morning? Something out of the Horseshoe Thrower's Manual or something? Reader's Digest? I don't think so. It is now a matter of accepting it and using it exactly as a student applies a theorem to solve a problem that's based on the theorem. And once you get this first theorem, there are no other theorems. God proves, or what God has proven, can now be applied to any problem that has a scriptural promise, as we find over here in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. We know that all things work together good them love God, them are the called, and so on. And right on down, who shall anything to charge of God's elect? Is God the justifier? He that spared not his own son, delivered up for us all. How shall not with him all give us all things freely? Who shall separate his love of Jesus Christ? Is there going to be tribulation, distress, or famine? Can anything do it? No. We can be killed all the day long. That's okay too. We're sheep for the Father. That's okay too. Why? We're more than conquerors. For I've been persuaded. It doesn't say a thing about you and me being persuaded. I say a thing about you and me there. He's lying. You prove to me that's you. Puh, you're a liar. Paul said here, though, we know. Is that the editorial we? No. That's the people of Paul. Well, Paul, how do we know? Because I know.
Amen.
Well, just a minute. Just don't just a minute me. I never came in word only. I came in the power of God. I never came preaching you wisdom and saying, oh, amen, just right. He said, amen. I came to you proving it.
Yes, sir.
You think I'm a fool that I'd come here, stick my neck out? Be chased off of some butterfly nut? What are you talking about? You listen to me. I'm telling you. Uncle Sam tells you he's a liar. The IRS tells him you're crooks. The nuclear men tell him you're a bunch of hogwash, ever was one. Infantile, miserable brains. They editorialize. They never report. They can't report. Where's your doctors? Where's your lawyers? They've all sold out for a dollar bill. They came to Brother Brown's $1.5 million check certified. Should take it away. A man sent him $15,000, $1,500. He said, what's this money for? Oh, bring on that $1,500. I'll do a little swagger dance for a couple of minutes. Yeah. Paul said, what shall we say to these things? Well, God was for Paul, and Paul came to us. Hallelujah. So I think, Brother Bill, I should have some great spiritual ministry. Yes, I predict. All right, let's take that back. I can't predict. But I agree, yes, you should have a great spiritual experience. Hallelujah. This is, Brother Branham, I'm with you. There's your spiritual experience. That's what Terry was getting the wind of the other day on the series. Paul said, not I, but Christ. I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ is me. The life that I live by the flesh. The flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God. The revelation I have right now, I got from him. I stand by.
Amen.
And Brother Bale, you don't have a mind of your own. That's perfectly right. Don't have a mind of my own. You mean you're taking over? I've been taking over. Amen. I wish you were. See, this is that spiritual experience, Terry. Amen. Looking at. Nothing. Consider this. Brother Brown has said in universe, God in his universe, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring you to pass. The right mental attitude is to receive it and say, thus saith the Lord. How? Based on vindication and nothing else. Not on anybody's creeds and dogmas. Not on Strong's theology. Or Joseph Parker's brilliant sermons. Or even the great and wonderful preachers back in the days of the Puritans. The Spurgeons. The rest of them. The vindicated ministry proves this to be the truth. Now, I'm going back to reading. And I'm finished finally. Finally, when I get through talking about what I read. First, I'm going to read 1 John. Now, look at the presumption of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen. Note. Now, get your eyes on me, said John. I have seen. Yes, indeed, I have. Which we have heard. Now, listen here. I've got an in to the eternal God. Oh, yes, I have. I looked on him. I saw him. Absolutely, I saw him. Make no mistake. My hands handled him. Yes, come and shake my hand. Come and take the hand that had the hand. Because I'm going to tell you, the life was manifested. Now, John is not that sweet apostle that you think he is, because he said, wait till I get hold of the doctors, I'll skin him alive. So he says, and the life was manifest. What do you do about it? You going to call me a liar? And you tell me. We've seen it. I can feel the people sitting there kind of cold. I handled. I saw it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm bearing witness. And in doing it, I am showing you. Listen, I am showing you. Yeah. I am showing you. I don't see nothing. Exactly right. Before I knew Brother Branham preached it, I said, Brother Branham, the people that call you deity on Judgment Day will be better off than those who branded you as not the prophet of God, because at least they saw something when the others saw nothing. He said, exactly right, Brother Bale. Personal contact with the prophet. It's like picking up something. I picked up the fact that he wasn't Jesus Christ, too. One man said to him, Brother Branham, when people talk like that, I get like I want to worship you. And I said to the kid, I get mad. I thought, well, hey, maybe I'm nuts. Better talk to the prophet. I said, Brother Branham, this kid, he said that, you know, he wants to fall down like the rest of them. But I said, Brother Branham, I get mad. He said, so you should. Great. I said, well, goody, goody. I haven't seen something here. I wasn't mad at him. I could have gone with those other guys. What they did to the man. I said, I'm not nice. He said, I'm showing you, listen, I'm showing you eternal life. Oh, God. John, are you all right? Oh, yeah. Which was with the Father and was manifested. And the things we have seen, we are declaring, fully explaining, and bringing into view by words and showing you that you can have the same fellowship I've got. Amen. True? Our fellowship is with the Father. Amen. And with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that you can be happy just like me. Now you've heard my sermon. Can you translate it to William Branham? Brother, listen, Leon Tyson. Prophet says, no prophet for 2,000 years, how do you put 2,000 years, spoke face to face with God, as did Moses, from the time of Paul until now. He told me that that's on the tape. You see, Moses, Paul, William Branham, yep. Hey, that's to make you feel good. You're not dealing with tripe and hogwash.
Amen.
And some metaphysical junk. Hindu mysticism.
Amen.
Or theological, theatrical posturing. He said, look, face to face, I talk.
Right. Amen.
To the pillar of fire. He said, honest before God, that sword was in my hand. Literal sword. Squirrels were created. I left my body was caught up over yonder.
Amen.
Seven mighty angels picked me up. One a day came in my room and talked. I'm telling you this for your own good. I'm showing you eternal life. So just a minute. I can take a lot, but not that. You just missed eternal life. This is not yesterday age, brother. This is not Pentecostal anymore. This is not Luther. This is not Wesley. This is now. This is now. What was manifested, he said, I manifested to you. Now I'm going to explain it to you. That you can have fellowship with us. Yeah. Brother Branham categorically said to Brother Hickerson, and I'm so glad he showed me, let's pretend this, can you see this top here? Brother Branham said, Hick, you're here now, I'm up here. When I go off the scene, you're up here. We're having fellowship with William Branham, if you believe him.
Amen.
There's a deep settled peace in my soul. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. Though the billows of doubt round me roll, there's a deep settled peace in my soul. Gotta come someplace, brother, sister. I'm not rejecting my faith in God. I'm seeing a faith that is in God by vindication, brother, sister. I've known the prophet since 1953. I've read, I've preached. I wrote the books. It's just beginning to break. How long will it take? I don't know. But I won't be alarmed if time goes on for a long time yet. Yet tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes, because this is all that's necessary.
Amen.
So I don't know one thing he said that's needed. Always looking forward, always looking back. Not knowing what's going on. Read Hebrews. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which are we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, I didn't see anything, but you heard it. Yeah, but there's a lot of things I hear. That's what Paul said. A lot of voices. I got the voice, he said. Yeah. Oh, he was a tough cookie. Barnabas, you know. God, listen. Do you understand the scripture? The word said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, to the work I have called them. Oh, they said, hallelujah. They laid on hands. They had a Pentecostal hold on, I believe. It was wonderful. They go to Jerusalem. And Barnabas gets sucked in. And Paul says, out.
Amen.
love to bear. Now, that's not love. That is love.
Amen.
He couldn't afford to jeopardize the body of Christ by a traitor. You say, well, I believe Brother Bale, the man held the rose. I'm not going to doubt anything about what he had or didn't have. I'm just telling you what happened.
Right.
I'm just telling you the truth. What am I supposed to do? Tell you something different? Am I supposed to say, well, that really was a mistake in the Bible. It wasn't the way it happened. That's the way it did happen. So I'm telling you what we heard. And don't let it slip. He said, don't let it slip. Hey, that means the Word of God is slippery? Yep, it's slippery. So wait a minute. Put a little box in your mind there. Put it on your hands. Now listen. That peculiar word. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, steadfast. Blessing, cursing. Blessing, cursing. Vindication. Alpha Omega. Every transgression and disobedience reaches just breaking his word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now listen. Listen what he's saying. How are we going to escape what has been told us? Yeah. How are you going to escape? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Brother Branham absolutely confirmed what God told him. What's the matter with this? You know what? It's time to get serious. And you know something? The Word is overtaking us. We fooled around, played around, done a lot of things, but it's overcoming us, brother, sister. I'm glad it is, because I am that kind of a jerk. I'm glad that Brother Brandon could open my mouth, squeeze my jaws, and pour the medicine in. By the grace of God, I want to spit it up. Was confirmed by them that heard God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now I said, listen right here. If you believe and I believe what has been told us and is vindicated, these things will come to pass. Yes. Hebrews 13 will bring about Mark 16. Yes. Now I'm going to close. I told you this is my last little jelly bean. I'm going to be facetious, but it's the truth. I have prayed for sick many times. Over the years, back many years ago, I had fantastic results for a person of my stature, which is very limited. I did everything I could to help the sick, but I never learned to simply stand still and say, God said it. I believe by the grace of God, and I'm taking my stand this morning, that it can be done and it will be done, that I can learn to stand and pray for the sick without one feeling. Without one emotion, I've got to do it somehow. And know that he's done it. Not the third pole. It's just me praying for sick. Now your part, I am looking at. And I'll be preaching at our church, and I'll be looking at the thoughts of Brother Branham. Where can I lead the people and help them? That they may know with me, and we together, one with him, so that you will be healed. Under the third pole, I sat there. I knew it, and I didn't know it. I believed it, and I didn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to expect. And Brother Branham categorically said what I'm saying today, and I could have read out of perfect faith. He said, look, the spoken word created worlds. It can't fail. Whatever I say is the Word of God, it will be. Nothing will stop it. Tonight I'm going to pray for you in that way. The third pull went right into action. My question is, how many got healed? Every single one got healed. Where was the manifestation? I don't know and I don't care. They could have lost it later down the road. But I'm telling you, brother, sister, we have not been on the verge of anything. We have been in the midst of everything and not recognized like the Pharisees and the scribes when he said, the kingdom of God is in the middle of you. And it's here, there, here, this, and you're missing exactly. And now he said the pillar of fire is here to lead the millennium. God has not left us. Some people try to put him on a yo-yo. He came down, he went up, he came down, he's here and he came down. And he's first brought the shout and he's going to raise the dead. And I stand on this, brother, sister. We can move forward and by the grace of God we will move forward. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going to be done. But I'm looking to see in this word what he taught us. This is God's word the man brought. And it's going to happen to leave veil somehow, some way it's going to happen to leave veil. And it's going to happen to the people that are around me.
Amen.
You say, aren't you shooting high? I dare not shoot lesser.
Amen.
I count not the people I pastor as my people. I count them as the people of God, and I am responsible. I use a vulgar expression. And my people know it, as I call them mine, the sense I minister to them. And you know too. I have never failed to spill my guts in hope to help somebody. I don't know that people have been as faithful to me as I've been to them. But by the grace of God, I will be faithful somehow. I don't know how. When he said, all things are ready, come to the feast, he meant it. He'll leave here with something this morning, brother, sister. What it is, I don't really know. What you do with it, I don't really know. I don't know. But Terry's right. The winds have shifted. Oh, it's the same wind. For once I thought with Brother Branham, do or die, sink or swim. This is it. It really is live or die, sink or swim. This is it. It's got to be.
Amen.
I have got to accept as he accepted. I will not be he. I will not think as he thought, as a prophet that is, but I will think the thoughts that he thought.
Amen.
I will not do what he did. I'm not interested. I just want the fellowship with him in eternal life. That I'm guaranteed under the right conditions, and we've got the conditions today, brother, sister. God help us. As never before, let's rise to be dismissed. I've kept you a long time. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. There's no use being sorry. It could be our last meeting. I don't know. I'm not planning any, I'll be honest with you. I never said I wouldn't attend a meeting if somebody else had it. It'll be up to the Lord. I'm lazy, number one. Many times I'm uncomfortable. I think that's the real reason. But I feel so good in the pulpit. So at home and so right if I can try to help somebody. So I don't know. But I love you all. I thank you for your prayers. Without your prayers, I don't think I'd be here. No way. The greatest thing anybody can do for somebody else is to pray in faith. I appreciate that. I appreciate your love. I really do. I pray for many people by name. Many people I just pray for geographically. I say the ladies in Virginia, the sister out there in Arizona. I say the two, but I know them in my heart. I kind of pray around the world. I don't know if it's efficacious or not, but I pray. Because I know that people pray for me and they love this word. The testimony to date has always been, Brother Vail, when you preach, you never talk about yourself. You always point to the prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I can be very wrong if I do that. I don't think I can be too far in error. If I'm wrong, you pray the Lord help me as I pray the Lord might help you too. But today we know the key as we've never known before. It all lies in the vindicated prophet. you can trust what he said. Amen. You don't have to have any fear. I told you I've had fears. I don't have any fear anymore about it. I just read it and I know, see, it's not what I thought it was. He never came for any curse. He came for blessing.
Amen.
We are the blessed as he was the blessed. We knew the prophet. The very fact that I stand here having known the prophet did, it rubs off on you whether you believe it or not. In other words, if you believe him and you believe what I'm telling you about him, you're a part of it. So where does that leave God? It leaves him where he always was. He always had prophets in the Word.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who shed his blood, and is now right on the throne. As the prophet said, he tore the seals off the book and climbed on the throne. And now, Lord, we know that you're here in your very presence. You're bringing the church into shape, putting all things under the feet of Jesus Christ except yourself. And above all, you're bringing us under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's our head. Lord, it's the strangest thing that you should say we're under his feet and yet we're going to marry him. It's such a blessed thing to know that really we are under his complete dominion to such an extent that he wants to marry us and be with us. And we love that. We want to be under the feet. Because under the head, the feet are under the head. Under that body, what magnanimous love has been extended to us. Father, I pray this morning that every single one of us shall get away from every creed and dogma and every college and every university and every single thing, Lord God, which has raised its voice against this message, against your way. I'm not worried, Lord, about the message. It's hard to understand for some folk, but I am worried about people not realizing that you have always done things the way you did them and you always will. And this is the way. And Lord, if we've been fooled by the devil, he's done a lousy job because hardly anybody's fooled. So, Lord, we know it's you. We know it's you. Just like it's all happened like it did back when you were in flesh, when you came in the flesh of the prophet. And now, Lord, living in our flesh and living amongst us by the great pillar of fire, we're just asking this one thing. Help us, Lord, to receive this vindication and what Brother Branham brought us. Just thus saith the Lord, and get happy like John. And John had Polycarp, and my, was he happy. Lord, we can be Polycarps. Absolutely, and I'm standing on it this morning. And I feel good about it, Lord. To believe that we can identify ourselves and have been identified by you and now with each other. When the people go to their homes, Lord, by plane, whatever, go with them, bear with them, Lord. Bring us back together maybe sometime. Hopefully, Lord, at least seeing each other, praying for each other, in dreams, maybe even in whatever it takes, Lord, in our thoughts, in our minds, just rejoicing in this thing, that we're all a great part of it, Lord, and all going on, maturing, ripening in the presence, oh God. Help us to take every thought away from our minds now concerning our brothers, so there's no more grudging, Lord, by the fact that we won't do anything to make them grudge, and we know there are brothers, they won't do anything to make us grudge. Oh, Lord, it's coming, Lord. It's not coming. It's here. God, help us to get on the bandwagon. So, Father in heaven, we're just not going to pray all day. We're just going to thank you now for your love and your mercy, for strength and all. You always do so good for us, Lord, and you overdo it. It's just too tremendous. We just can't wait, Lord, for more of it. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, all the honor and all the glory and all the power and all the dominion be yours, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.